5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us on the line right now is David Martosko, who is the political editor of the Daily Mail. Time to talk some 2016 politics. Good morning to you, David. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little road weary, but other than that, it's just...
where are you right now in the camp?
I just keep saying 54 days. I'm in New York City right now awaiting a Donald Trump economic event at the Waldorf Astoria, and then we'll be headed off this afternoon to New Hampshire, and then into Washington, where Trump is going to have an event tomorrow at his new hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, let me talk to you a little bit about the health issue, because there were two things that happened yesterday. We got a letter from Hillary's doctor, which in my mind raised a lot more questions than it answered. And then Donald Trump appears on Dr. Oz and gives at the very end of the show, gives him sort of a one-page synopsis from a recent physical that he took. And the doctor seemed to give him a passing grade on what those results showed. How important is health going to be going forward in this campaign?
Well, look, as the population ages, the people who rise to the level of running for the presidency also get older and older and older. I don't think, you know, we're going to marvel anymore at the idea of having, you know, 70-plus-year-old presidential candidates. It's just going to be the norm, which means they're going to have the kinds of health questions that people in their 70s have. It's just going to happen. Personally, I think we ought to require presidential candidates to do with their health what we require them to do with their finances. You know, we require these people to file, you know, lengthy financial statements, everything in their bank accounts, everything they've invested in, you know, all this stuff, and to sign it under penalty of perjury. But right now with health, it's kind of optional. You know, you want to send us a letter from your doctor? Okay, cool. But you don't have to sign your name to it saying that it's true. And so I personally think we ought to have a form and that says, hey, give us the list of every medicine you've been prescribed right in the last 10 years. Let's have all your surgeries, your hospitalizations. You know, this is going to become an issue.
So I'm getting the sense you're 80-year-old
people running for the presidency in the next 20 years.
I'm getting the sense you're not satisfied with the information you've gotten thus far.
Not at all. Nobody has provided any actual documentation for this stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, Melania Trump released yesterday a letter from her immigration lawyer saying, yeah, she's never been in the country illegally. I've seen the documents. That's what the lawyer says. Well, we'd like to see the documents. I don't think it's too much to ask that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton actually show us the results of their lab work. Show us the, you know, Hillary Clinton had a chest CT and a CAT scan and all that stuff. We'd like to see the actual report from the radiologist.
Asking critical questions, making observations, and not taking the campaign's word for it used to be what I thought a political journalist did, David. But I got to tell you, first of all, what the Daily Mail's been doing in this campaign has been fantastic. How many times have we seen stories out of the Daily Mail and said, where the heck is the New York Times? Where the heck is the Washington Post? So you're doing great. But I want to talk to you about the coverage a little bit, because you were at the center of this storm. On Friday, September 9th, during Hillary Clinton's press conference, you made some observations about her appearance, about her energy, about her demeanor. You said she looked low energy. You thought that there was something wrong with her. And you were attacked viciously from the Clinton campaign, from the DNC, from fellow reporters. And it turns out you were a visionary. You were a prophet, because that was the same day that we were told she was diagnosed with pneumonia. David, have you been apologized to by any chance? Have you received a big-time mea culpa apology from your colleagues and from the Clinton campaign?
No, although one of my friends said, you know, the Republican Party should be sending you candy and a stripper, you know, for drawing attention to this. But no, look, I don't expect an apology or any acknowledgement or anything. I was just making an observation. I said, And I didn't want this to happen, but I wrote last Friday during her speech that she looked like she's about ready to collapse and fall over any minute now.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, her press secretary said, delete your Twitter account, and all these guys from the DNC said, I shouldn't have a job the next day.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. You should be out of a job tomorrow.
Look, it's not hard to observe these things. It's just sometimes in the environment we're in politically in the campaign, it's hard to say them. It's easy to observe them, but it's hard to say them because, you know, if you're wrong, people think, oh, that's ridiculous. You're in the tank for somebody else or whatever. But you're right. It used to be the job of everybody just to say, this is what I see. Now you, dear reader, make up your own darn mind.
Right.
Now we've kind of been cowed, I think, into submission by a popular culture and an overreacting internet that's ready to pass judgment on reporters because the presumption is that we all have a horse in the race.
Mm. David,
it's
I'm
to the
just
point where I'm thinking maybe I won't vote because, you know, it's just more trouble than it's worth, honestly, to have to defend your impartiality.
David, I want to ask you about the note that came out from Hillary's doctor yesterday, which she said she had a very mild bout of pneumonia. Just one corner of one lobe of her lung had bacterial pneumonia and really seemed to downplay the fact that she had pneumonia on any level whatsoever. To me, the question that immediately came to mind and that I've not yet gotten an answer for, if it's such a mild bout, if it's no big deal, why was she passing out on the sidewalk in New York City?
Well, that's a darn good question. I don't think it was the pneumonia. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I imagine it's not the pneumonia that was knocking her out. It was the fact that she was dehydrated. But my bigger concern, I'll tell you what, and I haven't seen much attention on this yet, but I suspect you might see some soon, is the fact that this diagnosis, which was articulated as non-contagious bacterial pneumonia, again, I'm not a doctor, but I looked through the diagnostic materials last night that are used by Obamacare and by all these medical billing systems to identify diagnoses. I can't find anything for a non-contagious bacterial pneumonia.
We had a doctor say the same thing yesterday.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who saw this. I mean, there are diagnoses for, you know, bathtub-induced toe fungus, you know, but you can't find anything for a bacterial pneumonia that's not contagious.
Yeah.
And if it is, in fact, contagious, even mildly contagious, what the heck was she doing on a plane in an enclosed metal tube with 60 reporters last Friday? What was she doing at her daughter's apartment around her granddaughter? And what was she doing hugging that kid outside the apartment
with
the reporters?
David Martozga, could delete your account. How dare
you
ask such a question? By the way, you were researching this on an Obamacare health website? I would get a second opinion, sir.
Well, look, the website works now, so you got to take it for what it's worth.
All right, sir. Thank you.
David Martozga, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Anytime.